Final hour on this Thursday afternoon. Hope everybody's had a good day thus far. Let's bring in Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet. Hockey Night in Canada, 32 Thoughts. Check out that podcast. He joins us every Thursday at this time. Good afternoon, Elliot. How you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. We know no game in Ottawa tonight against the Senators. That game has been postponed for a later date. They already had their game against the Devils on Tuesday night postponed. They'll have another one on Saturday postponed. That was the first one in the league, because we were talking out loud the other day on the show. That is the first one of this season, correct?
Yes, those are the first ones this year. And
okay,
you know what's ominous is that, you know, the NFL, obviously they've had some situations, the biggest being Aaron Rodgers, and they've still been able to have games. And basketball's had some situations, but they're still able to have games. I think it must be the rink atmosphere, guys. I remember, you know, when COVID first came on the scene, there were all these questions about, you know, the humidity of hockey rinks and things like that. And does it trap, does it trap it in there and make it easier to transmit? And I don't know if we've ever gotten the best answers about that, but I do know that's one thing that people worry about.
Yeah, no doubt. I want to ask you the same question I did after the Predators played the Oilers in Edmonton, because I brought up, you know, kind of the narrative on Edmonton, and I used Toronto as the other example of teams that have been having success in the regular season. They've got these dynamic offensive weapons. They have no problems putting the puck in the back of the net, but the game hasn't translated to the playoffs. They are quick to be ousted in the playoffs. And so mm-hmm. We talked about that Edmonton team. Predators just were in Toronto on Tuesday, were shut out by the Leafs. And so I'm going to ask you the same thing. And I'm just going to tell you on the front end, for me, I came away feeling different. I didn't feel different about Edmonton. I knew, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl did exactly what I thought they would do. And they've done that for many years. But I didn't feel like, oh, wow, this Edmonton team looks like it's built or constructed differently, and this is all going to change in the playoffs. I will tell you, Elliot, I did feel differently about this Toronto team. You know, you got the Marners and the Nylanders and the Matthews of the world, and we all know that. Jack Campbell looks really good. I know it's still very early on, but they're a team that's not afraid to win puck battles, block shots, hits. They look different.
They do. You know, the tough thing for us up here, and I think it's a tough thing for them too. First of all, I think that's one of the best games they've played all year. I think you guys are pretty good, and I thought they looked really good against the Predators on Tuesday night. You know, the challenge is, and you guys didn't see them at all last year, but, you know, they won the Canadian division, and they earned it. They were the best team wire to wire. And they had some really good performances and then just completely cratered and collapsed in the playoffs. And the problem that they have is I think a lot of their fan base is in the mode of, we've seen this in the regular season before, we're going to wait until we see it when it really matters. And I think that's a tough way to play 82 games, because everyone's kind of like, yeah, but, we've seen this before, and you know, we want to wait until, we don't want to be heartbroken again. We don't want to buy in until we know. Like, they've been really good lately, and I agree with you. I think they look really talented, but unfortunately, there's a real fear of diving into the water and just throwing your arms around them and completely believing, because the fans have been kind of hurt before. So, I mean, all you can do is win the games on your schedule, but there's going to be a feeling up here of, let's just see what happens when it really matters.
Yeah, no, look, that's more than fair. I just was impressed, you know, that they were, their forechecking was good. That second goal in the game in the third period was just winning puck battles. I mean, that was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And they made life difficult at times for the Predators. I just felt like it had a little bit more of a blue-collar feel than an up-and-down-the-ice, free-willing, hey, we're just all about offense, don't care about things on the back end. It just felt different to me. I understand it's one game, and certainly people in Toronto, they've seen much more of that hockey than me. And so I understand that feeling, and I get it. I'm just telling you, my takeaway from that game was, maybe this is going to be a different year for the Leafs.
Well, I'm sure that there's a lot of fans up here in Toronto that would hear you say that and go, I hope that goes from your lips to God's ears. I would tell you that. But I will say they've played really well recently, and I thought that game against you guys on Tuesday was one of their best games all year. I mean, you guys saw it. Saros was brilliant. That game could have been a lot more lopsided. They were very good, but your goalie kept you in it.
What are the Predators in for on Saturday night in Montreal?
They're really struggling. Montreal, they're playing tonight against Pittsburgh, another team that's really struggling. They're down two goalies right now. Carey Price, obviously an all-world goalie, hasn't played this year, and we really don't have an idea of when he's going to play. Jake Allen, his backup, who had a really great year for them last year, was injured last week against Detroit, and he skated today, but I'm not sure if we're expecting him to play on Saturday. So, right now they've got their number three and number four goalies, and actually their number four goalie is going to play tonight against Pittsburgh. So they're really banged up. They're having a nightmare year. They're looking for a defender who can move the puck a little bit. I just think that, Price, he erases mistakes. It's like, again, it's like Saros when he's at his best. He erases mistakes. And, when things went bad, when Price was at his peak, you didn't bleed or feel the pain as much as you could have because he stopped them. And not only is Price gone, but as you guys know, Shea Weber's gone, Corey Perry's gone. Philip Deneau, who was their best defensive forward, is gone. A lot of the soul of that team that went to the Stanley Cup final last year is missing. And I just think they're really struggling to find their identity. And I think that's a lot of important players on your team that you have to replace. Now, I didn't expect this. I didn't think they'd be like they are this year. But they're lost at sea for a lot of this season. And I think if you're Montreal right now, you're looking at this as a write-off year, and you hope you get as high a pick as possible. They're hosting the draft this year, and then you hope you regroup a little bit for next season. But, this year has been a real nightmare for them from top to bottom.
Yeah. Something we didn't expect to see would be the Ducks after 17 games.
No.
Atop the Pacific Division. Obviously, I don't think anybody's going to really sign up and say, I think they're going to sustain this all year, but they've won eight in a row. What has been working? I mean, this has kind of come out of nowhere. Nobody would have said the Ducks in the middle of November would be leading the division. Why is it going so well so far?
Well, there's been a few teams this year I've kind of looked at and said that they're a lot better than I thought they were going to be. San Jose is another one of those teams. They're a lot better than I thought. LA, I didn't know what to expect. They're a lot better than I thought. New Jersey is another team that's better than I thought. And then you've got teams like the Islanders where I'm saying, my goodness, they're worse than I thought. But, Anaheim is a perfect example. One of the things they did in the offseason was they challenged their best players to be a lot better. They really felt that some of their veterans had let them down. They were at the level that they expected them to be at. And, one of the guys, I don't really know if he was challenged as much, but one of the guys who I think has been kind of found a bit of a fountain of youth is Ryan Getzlaff, their captain, who just the other night became the first Ducks player to have 1,000 points. And, he looks completely rejuvenated. And I think, first of all, they have one of the best goalies in the league. And one of the things that's happened this year, guys, I really believe, is that with the Olympics looming, there's a lot of players who are really motivated by the Olympics. And the knowledge that they could play in them this year, even if it's not going to be the Olympics as we know them. And I think their goalie, John Gibson, is one of those guys. I think the opening night, they played the Jets, and the Jets obviously have Connor Hellebuck, who also could be a Team USA starter. And Gibson stared him down and beat him. And people were telling me that that was a big thing for Gibson. He wants to play for the U.S., and, you know, he established from the beginning that that was a big goal for him. And, you know, so you have your goaltender playing great, that gets your team going. And I just think, you know, a lot of their veteran players have been better. And one of the real surprise players in the league is a guy by the name of Troy Terry. And that's a guy that they were thinking of trading this year, a young player. And he's got one of the biggest point streaks in the season. And I just think that there's, I mean, we'll see how this goes. It's a long season. But I just think that there are players there who they expected more of. And right now, a lot of them are delivering. And, you know, I think that's the biggest difference. I think players are playing to the level that they hoped and expected some of those guys would play at.
Talking to Elliot Friedman from 32 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada. And Elliot, here we are in Montreal for the boondoggle here. We're supposed to be in Ottawa. We get extra days in Montreal. We have the social coordinator, the former Canadian Hal Gill, leading the social brigade here. We're in big trouble, I can tell you. All right, I'm just hoping we make it to Saturday. But I want to ask you.
I'll tell you this. If you're going to go, that's the way to go.
Yeah. that's a good way of putting it, I would say.
Montreal is I mean, you guys know how fondly we talk about Nashville as a great stop in the league. Montreal is also a top five stop in the league. For those of you who are listening to this who've never been, you have to go sometime just to experience it. It's such a great weekend.
Very unique spot. So, Elliot, I want to ask you, you mentioned UC Saros. He played a really good game despite the loss against Toronto, but he was kind of showcasing. I'm always interested when a guy plays in a spotlight game in a city like Toronto. He'll get another chance on Saturday, I'm sure, against Montreal. But just he continues to do it, right? There's always been doubters for him for his size, and now, hey, can he be a starter? Or, hey, now Pecorine's gone. They don't have that. But he keeps taking steps forward. I'm just curious where he stands in sort of the narrative of the big picture now, where he is moving up with his I guess, status in the league.
Well, I think you make a good point there that sometimes if you have performances on those stages, people maybe notice a bit more. It's not always right, but that's the way it is. And, you know, I thought Saros got shafted in some of the voting last year. I don't agree with it. But people have respect for him. People are recognizing how good he is. And I think the other thing that happens, guys, is I think fans like underdogs. And you mentioned the thing there, the size. You know, there are teams, I remember years ago, Vancouver, Detroit. I don't know if Ken Holland still has this rule, but he definitely had it when he was the GM in Detroit. They say if a goaltender is any shorter than 6'2", they won't even take him. And so the odds are really stacked against him, against someone like him. And I think fans like underdogs. You know, I remember years ago when I first broke into the business, I did a lot of basketball. And the first year of the Raptors, they had Oliver Miller. And if you remember Oliver Miller as a player, he was a talented guy, but he was heavy. He was a heavy guy, and he didn't look like a typical athlete. And I remember one guy telling me in the first year, he goes, my favorite player is Oliver Miller. And I said, why is that? He goes, because he looks like me. He's like overweight, but a tremendous basketball player. And I always kind of remembered that, how people identify with things like that. And I do think that there's a lot of people who look at Saros as being an outlier, maybe not being the cookie cutter goalie, and say good for him. Like he beat the odds. You know, what do we like? We love the stories of you guys had this with Patrick Hornqvist, last pick in the draft, and he's an NHLer and a good one. I think people like those kinds of stories. And so I think people have a soft spot for Saros because the odds say that he shouldn't be where he is.
Elliot, you speaking of goalies, you have some great notes that sort of build on a story that Adam Vingan had a couple of weeks ago, just the backstory of Connor Ingram. It added some great tidbits to that. If you will, share with our listeners who maybe haven't seen it, I would invite everybody to look at the 32 Thoughts blog. It's outstanding. But
I read it earlier. It's awesome.
It's out. Yeah, but he's just such an unassuming guy. But you could tell how much the team really was glad to see him have some success in the two starts he's had, and he looks like he's going to be an NHL goalie someday.
Well, to be honest, I didn't realize that it had come out. I did those interviews a while ago, but unfortunately, because of circumstances around the league and my own life, I wasn't able to get it done. But I still wanted to do it, and because I think it's important in this day and age that people understand that you can get help. Like, you know, there's a lot of people out there that struggle with a lot of different things. And, you know, the thing that I think that the most important message that Connor Ingram put out there was that his situation was unusual, and he was worried that people wouldn't understand or would laugh at him, or he wouldn't be able to get the help he needed. And he talked about, so for those of people who aren't familiar, he had an issue with OCD, where he was looking up sexually transmitted diseases all the time on the internet. And, you know, he didn't have one. And as he said, he was in a monogamous relationship at the time, so there's no chance he had one. But for some reason, he was just fixated on it. And it led to some issues with alcohol, and he was in a really bad place about a year ago. And one day he missed the bus to practice. He went to his goalie coach, Ben Vanderklok, and he said, "I need help." And immediately the Predators, Vanderklok and Poile and Brian Poile and his teammates, got him into a position where he could get help. And he said that the thing that really meant the most to him was he could see a therapist and explain what the problem was and expect to, I don't know what he was expecting, to be laughed at or being told he's the only person who's like this. And the first thing the therapist did was tell him, "This is what you have." And immediately it was a weight off his shoulders. And then he talked about it with another person who had something very similar. Because when we think of OCD, what do we think about? People who have to lock their doors a certain way, have certain superstitions and routines. Like, I know when I think of OCD, I think of all of that as opposed to what Connor Ingram was dealing with. So I think the thing to me, it was the best part of the story, was here he is thinking that he's really different or really unusual or, for lack of a better term, really weird, and he's not going to be able to get help, and he gets help almost immediately. And then he talks about how it allowed him to change his outlook, the way he prepared. Like, usually there's a big football game in Canada every year. It's the weekend after Labor Day. It's Winnipeg at Saskatchewan, and Ingram is from Saskatchewan. And he would always stay home until that, and then he'd go back to Nashville. Well, not this year. One of his brothers got married, and immediately he went right back to Nashville to train in July. And, I mean, you guys watch it up close. You know, that game in Minnesota where he made his NHL debut, it was a back-to-back. They'd lost the night before. Minnesota was unbeaten. Like, there were a lot of reasons for Nashville to lose that game, and they found a way to win. He made 33 saves. And, you know, I just think it's important for people to understand that no matter, you know, what happens to you, or if something's bothering you and it might seem different and you might be the only one out there, like, I got to tell you, when Connor Ingram explained to me exactly what the issue was, I said, you know, I've never heard of this before. And he was saying, "I know, and that's why I worried I was alone, and I realized I wasn't alone." So it's important for people to know that there's somebody else out there who's going through exactly what you are. And, I really appreciated him taking the time to tell the story, because it will help someone. There's no question about that.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman, the author of 32 Thoughts. And yeah, I want to echo what Willie said, because I read it too, and it was very well done. And, you know, I'll tie it to a few months ago, I guess, Colin Wilson, former Predator. You know, when he retired, he talked about OCD and how that was an issue for him, and then his addiction that he talked about a couple of months ago. I mean, I think that seeing these stories of these players showing that, hey, they're human and they have issues too, is going to help, you know, other players and other people in the long run. How does the league view things? Because I know they've always had the, you know, the thing in place to help players. I can remember Jordan Tutu and others entering, you know, for different addictions and things like that. But when they hear these stories, I mean, what's kind of the thought from the league?
I think the league generally tries to be, and the players generally try to get people help. Like, if you look at it, you know, Montreal's had a couple of high-profile ones, Carey Price, who we talk about, who we talked about recently, and also Jonathan Drouin, the Canadiens. He missed their Stanley Cup run last year because he needed help, and he went public with his conversations about anxiety. Now, unfortunately, we've seen some situations very recently where the help that people needed and should have gotten did not happen. And the league and the Players Association are paying a very big price for that. But generally, I think in a lot of ways, I think as society, we've come a long way in being more accepting of what's happened. Like, this could go off into a whole other conversation, guys, but you know, you look at the growth of social media and what it does to people. You look at smartphones and how connected we are. There's a benefit in being connected, but there's also a negative in it, in that we're never unplugged. Like, you know, I mean, like I listen to you guys. I watch you guys do your work on Predators broadcast. I know how hard you guys work. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who say, I can never get away, because I've always got this smartphone that keeps me connected to my work. I never feel like I can unplug. And, you know, I think especially now, you know, the other thing that the pandemic has done is I think a lot of people feel even more pressure than ever. And I think a lot of people feel probably less concerned about, or they're trying to rediscover or change their priorities or move their priorities. So I just think the pressures people now with between smartphones and social media and connectivity and, you know, just what COVID has done. I just think it's a lot on a lot of people. And I think learning to manage it better is such a skill. I mean, I know I feel it myself, and I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Yeah, no doubt. Elliot, good stuff as always. Good to talk to you again, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, guys. Have yourselves a great week.
You too. Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, the author of 32 Thoughts, joins us every Thursday at 1. And again, if you have not read that about Connor Ingram, check it out in his column this week. As we go to the break, Willie, tell us about QC Kinetics.
All right. Excuse me. Great stuff from Elliot as always. QC Kinetics, do you really want to go through another year with that awful joint pain? You may be out there. Darren was talking about my long time ago running exploits where I did run the marathon. That was, I think, 2002. But yeah, when you start doing things like jogging and continuing to play the sports you love to play, as you get older, you get a little joint pain. And now the folks at QC Kinetics want you to know that there are other options out there, and they want you to consider what they've got. So make a resolution right now to get yourself moving again for 2022, even if you've been frustrated. It's time to call QC Kinetics, non-surgical regenerative treatments for joint pain. We're talking lasting results using natural biologics. No surgery, no pain meds, no steroids, no downtime. Exciting stuff. Regenerative, restorative treatments. They encourage your body to heal itself. So don't let them keep giving you steroids. Don't let them keep telling you that surgery is the only option. Get that second opinion now at QC Kinetics and try to move past that hip pain, knee pain, shoulder pain that could be bothering you right now. Imagine life in 22 feeling a lot better and being able to do the things you want to do. Call them right now. QC Kinetics, 615-249-4024. Free consultation. QC Kinetics, 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024.